Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
The final hour of Sports Saturday. Mick Schaefer, Josh Briscoe, alongside. We bring in Brad Porter to the conversation. What are you doing this morning, Brad?
I'm celebrating three special occasions today. How about that?
Okay. Give them to me.
Well, number one, you got Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Thank you for reminding me that. Of that. I was going to have a whole segment on that. I guess we still can. That's a great one. Okay, finish off your list.
Okay, today Bobby Bonilla gets $1.2 million from the New York Mets, and this goes from 2011 to 2035, and he hasn't played a game since 2000. Number two, Happy Canada Day, or as we know Canada, America's Hat.
America's Hat, I like it, yes.
Yeah, and number three, holiday for Drew Holiday, and the reason I bring this up, in the national news update you just had, Drew Holiday, New Orleans Pelicans, gets a $150 million contract. And, of course, he is married to the former Lauren
Holiday.
Cheney.
Sure.
Lauren Holiday, probably the best midfielder in the history of the National Women's Soccer League, who won two championships for FC Kansas City. So congratulations to them and their family. And they went through a lot of difficulties last year during the birth of their first child, which Lauren had to have brain surgery afterwards.
Amazing, yeah.
So it's working out for them. So congratulations.
I love that list. So Bobby Bonilla, let's get back to him.
It's hilarious.
He was born in the Bronx in 1963. He's 54 right now. He'll get paid till he's 72 for baseball, and that's his salary. There's pension, I imagine, on top of that, and all the other perks that come with playing baseball for, what, about 15, 16 years was his career.
Yeah.
So
if NFL players were a little smarter, they would hire everybody with the MLBPA, the Players Association, or go to the golf guys. The PGA players have a fantastic pension. NFL players get squat compared to that. They just don't want – their NFL is all about giving the money now and not worry about the next 50 years. And man alive, Bobby Bonilla, good for him, good for his agent, the Wilpon family got taken to the cleaners on that one.
They really did. Bobby Bonilla, by the way, Baseball America had a list, the greatest player at every position who wasn't drafted. For instance, I think Bruce Sutter is like the captain of that team, right? He was he's the closer of that team. Dan Gladden, one of the outfielders. I'm trying to think. Frank White was the second baseman, right?
Yeah, the greatest player. Yeah, Royals Academy.
Bobby Bonilla was in the outfield. He was not drafted.
Not drafted. How many All-Star games did he make, and how many times did he finish top 10 in MVP voting?
Yeah, six-time All-Star, three-time Silver Slugger Award, won a World Series in 1997 with the Marlins, played for 9 clubs.
Wow.
9 clubs, and of course the Mets deal that he will the Bobby Bonilla Day every July 1, he will get
$1.193 million. I call it I'll round 1.2.
Sure.
And I wonder if his agent gets his check every year at this time as
I'm
well.
I'm sure. The one player who can just blow his money every year, but then it's going to come back to him. It's almost like biblical, right? You know, you keep pouring out of the pitcher, and there's water that's still there. That's Bobby Bonilla's life. So
it's
great,
like the apostles, they just keep casting out their nets, and the fish keep jumping in.
Absolutely. Who is? I need to find out his agent. The greatest agent ever. Whoever negotiated that deal, and of course, it's the Mets with the worst deal ever.
Well, at that time, the Mets were struggling financially, and they couldn't afford to keep him unless they set up a deal like this that would pay him basically in perpetuity. There's your 50-cent word of the day.
Pretty good.
Yeah. The Mets didn't have the money. The Wilpons were going broke, and they were part of the – they got taken to the cleaners in the Bernie Madoff deal as well. So they whiffed a couple of times.
Yeah, more than a couple of times. We're talking with Brad Porter. So what are your favorite things about Canada?
You got to go with Dana Carvey. That'd be one.
I thought you were going to lead with Nickelback. But that's fine.
No, that is, if you started a list and got to a million, they still wouldn't be on there.
What about fries with gravy on it?
No, pass, straight pass.
Okay. What about mayo on everything?
Nope.
And they don't do they're not big on the ice in drinks, right?
That's a very European thing.
And yeah, I might be thinking
Canada
of Europe.
Canada does that because they like everything Parisian. And French, so I would say, yeah, lukewarm drinks.
Sure.
John Candy's got to be on that list.
Sure. The comedians, some of the funniest people in the history of humans have come from Canada. Tim Hortons, it's a big kind of the McDonald's up there, kind of a drive-through fast food type place. But odd, they'll serve your drinks will be like cans of Sprite, right? They'll give you actual cans, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like fountain drinks. And they're warm, yes.
And if you like a 60% tax rate, that's where you want to move. You definitely want to move there.
That's there as well. Good point on that. And then, apologizing. They're great at apologizing.
Yeah. Sorry. Isn't that the word? Sorry.
Sorry. Yes. Yes. Always.
And a boot. It's all a boot.
Yes. Very nice. So I love that. Love that list there. Big day today in Kansas City. We'll talk about the Royals here in a bit with Brad. Obviously, a day-night doubleheader out at the K. But another big game over there at Sporting Park as Portland is in town to take on Sporting KC. And Brad, we talk about how good the Royals were in June. Sporting maybe even better. What were they, like 6-0-2 or something like that? They're on a nice little roll right now.
You know what, they cut off Andy Edwards and Nick Garcia, and I talked about it after the first month of the season. What is this team? What are they going to be? Because they were a good team, but they hadn't kind of gotten out on their full potential yet. And this last month, they really took charge. And when you have a 5-point lead in your conference on July 1st, that's big. That gives you a cushion to, you know, stumble here or stumble there and still not lose traction. I mean, by the end of this weekend, they could potentially have an 8-point lead over Portland and Houston, depending on what happens, obviously, in this game and then also whatever happens with Houston. But they could potentially be 8 points up on the 1st of July, and that's almost a guarantee of a playoff spot, much less, you know, the chances of winning the conference are much better. And then you get that first round bye and things set up nicely for the playoffs.
Actually, 4-0-2 in the month of June. I misspoke there, but that'll do. That'll do as we start July here. Portland in town, and this is not the Timbers that we saw in maybe, March and April. I remember when Sporting KC went up to Portland and got a big win early in the season when Portland was averaging like 3 or 4 goals a game, something crazy like that. They've come back down to earth.
Yeah, they backpedaled a little bit. They played Seattle last week and came out with a 2-2 draw. That's a game they probably should have won. Seattle's not playing that well this year. But I read an interesting stat last night. I don't know if it was the Down the Byline guys. There's a lot of bloggers for Sporting. But these two teams, Portland and Sporting KC, are the only two teams to occupy first place in the Western Conference this entire season, one or the other. I believe Portland was leading the conference in weeks 1 through 9, and Sporting KC has been in first place for weeks 10 through 17. So these are the two premier teams in the Western Conference. The LA Galaxy, everybody thinks they're going to get back at some point. I don't think they are. I don't think it's going to happen for them. FC Dallas is a team that's loaded with talent top to bottom, but they're kind of hanging back as well. They've slipped because they put a lot of energy into the U.S. Open Cup and some of the other competitions they're in, as well as Sporting. They're doing well in the U.S. Open Cup. But these are the two premier teams in the Western Conference. You could argue in the entire league, and they're going to have a prime spot on ESPN tonight at 6 o'clock. And what a great lead-in, because the USA men's national team plays at 4 o'clock on ESPN. So they'll have a two-hour lead-in that all the soccer nuts across the country are going to be watching the national team, mm-hmm. and they'll leave it on and watch Sporting in Portland.
That's a good point there. I did not know that. So, yeah, just be soccer all afternoon on ESPN. You take a look at the Western Conference standing, Sporting on top, and what really jumps out at me is, okay, goals allowed. Portland, 28 on the season. Isn't horrible. Houston, 25 on the season. Isn't horrible. You go down the list, 24, 27. Minnesota United's yielded 41 so far.
Yes.
It's 12 for Sporting. 12. That's it. No other team in all of MLS is within three of that. FC Dallas giving up 15. They've been a good defensive team, good in the back end, good team in Toronto as well, who's leading the East. They've got a great squad. 12 goals through 18 matches played is just amazing, and I think that's one of the more underrated guys in MLS is Tim Melia, and just putting together a terrific season. Obviously Beisler and those guys in the back as well, the defenders playing well, but Tim Melia just flies under the radar and just throws out clean sheets, you know, like it's nothing.
But Tim Melia is, when you talk about all-star voting, he is not in first place for goalkeepers right now, and he really should be. When they square off against Real Madrid later this month, he should be in goal for the Major League Soccer All-Star team. And you could argue that both Matt Beisler and Aiko Parra could be co-defenders of the year for this league. That's how good they're playing right now. And, of course, Sporting's going to be without Matt Beisler tonight because he is with the men's U.S. national team that's taking on Ghana at 4 o'clock. Graham Zusi, who plays right back now,
mm-hmm.
He's also with the national team. And Don Dwyer could make his debut for the U.S. national team as well. So three big pieces missing for Sporting tonight. But that is the best defensive back four and goalkeeper in Major League Soccer. And Tim Melia, if you're not familiar with how Major League Soccer works with goalkeepers, you have two or three on a team. Two are active for every game and one is not. And then you have a pool of what they call, it's called a league pool, where goalkeepers are looking for jobs. They kind of rotate around the league and practice with teams. And Tim Melia, a couple of years ago, was a practice squad guy. He was like the fifth or sixth goalkeeper in the Sporting organization, and he was just there for practice. And then he slides in when Jimmy Nielsen retires, and he's been, I mean, you go down the list of Sporting KC goalkeepers going back to, you know, Tony Miola and Jimmy Nielsen and all the guys over the years, and I'm going to forget Kevin Hartman, sure. Trying to get everybody in there. But
Bo O'Shaughnessy?
Bo O'Shaughnessy, who actually did okay until he just disappeared one day. But this organization has had top-level goalkeepers going all the way back to the beginning stages.
So Sporting signed Spanish midfielder Cristian Lobato. What do you know about him? How big of a signing is this, and as you told me, he's from the same club as Elie, and so that signing's worked out.
Yeah, when I first saw the press release and saw Cristian, I was hoping it was going to say Ronaldo.
Sure.
He's having troubles at Real Madrid, and there's talk he wants to leave, and no, that's way out of the stratosphere right now. But yeah, he comes out of the Barcelona organization. He played with Barcelona, the B side, which is essentially the second team. But if you took the second-tier players at Barcelona and put them in Major League Soccer, they'd all be all-stars. Because they're just the way they develop players year after year and decade after decade is phenomenal. So for Peter Vermes and his staff to go to that well again, I'm all for that. And you talk about a midfield that's already pretty good right now and is in first place in the Western Conference, throw in another kid from Barcelona. And the way Elie has adapted to this league so quickly, I'm pretty confident this kid can come in, learn the system, and learn the Sporting way, and get what they call Sporting fitness level, and jump right in here in a week or two, maybe by the end of the month, and start to make a difference.
So, Icapara's goal, obviously, goal of the week in MLS.
Unbelievable.
Goal of the year? Is it going to be goal of the year, you think?
It's got to be in the top five. And what's funny about that is we just talked about Ike Opara and Matt Beisler being the best two central defenders in Major League Soccer. Beisler sent that from 40 yards away.
Yeah.
And Opara just looked at it, waited on it, timed it perfectly, and bicycled it right over his head and into the goal. And, that's goal of the year easy right now.
What's the bicycle kick goal equivalent to in other sports? Is it like going up and robbing a home run, timing that out as well? Or maybe it's like in baseball, maybe it's the equivalent of a grand slam or something like that, or football, one-handed catch, something like – it's something you always practice. But, I mean,
right,
the stars have to align to be able to pull it off in a game and get a goal. And they align there. Not only does he get the goal, I mean, it's almost like he had eyes in the back of his head because the keeper's creeping up, and he just toe pops it right over the top of the keeper. It was gorgeous. What is that the equivalent of in other sports?
Well, he caught me off guard with that, but what immediately comes to my head are two things. Bo Jackson running up the side of the wall.
Sure, yeah.
When he had, what was it, 10 steps up the side of the wall to rob a home run? I think that's got to be up there. And David Tyree's catch in the Super Bowl with one hand on the ball on the top of his helmet. I mean, that's something you probably try just messing around on the playground.
Yeah.
And it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
But I would put it up there with that.
It is. And for soccer players, I know it's the kids, right? They always – it's something you always try. It's like in the backyard when you're playing catch with your kid and they want to dive for it. Dad, throw it to where I can dive for it. They practice that stuff all the time. So I think it's similar to, you know, something. It's the dream of, you know, every soccer player growing up to be able to pull off one of those, and he does it at the highest level in America. It was just awesome. All right.
Well, it's like when you go to a soccer practice, after practice, you'll see a lot of guys trying shots from 25 and 35 yards out.
It's like maybe it's like the half court shot in basketball. It's all you do before and after practice.
Yeah, like Steph Curry before games, just throwing down half quarters. And it might happen twice in a season. But, boy, if you're in the right place at the right time, and good for Ike Opara, because I know Nate Buchady has talked about this a lot over the season. He's had an injury-plagued career, and Sporting KC has been waiting for him to be healthy and get to his top level, and it's about as good as it gets right now. And it's good to see him have this success after everything he's gone through.
Absolutely. We got Brad Port on the line. We won't let you go without talking about some Royals here. And all-star lineup's going to be announced tomorrow at like 7 Eastern, I believe.
Salvi, and the media will find out after the Royals.
It'll be embargoed. Yes.
They will not be allowed to talk about it until, 6 o'clock or whatever it is.
Yes. Which how they keep that under wraps every year is beyond me. Maybe they don't. Because we're loudmouths by trade. So Salvi Alok, do you think Smoke is going to catch Hosmer at first base?
Boy, that's a close one, and good for Justin Smoke, too. I mean,
had a great year.
A high draft pick with the Texas Rangers and such high expectations. I think he went to Seattle.
Yep.
And then, you know, didn't really break out. He did a little bit. I hope Royals fans jumped on there. I know my kids were using up their allotment of votes the last couple of days to make sure those guys get in. And I think Hosmer's in there regardless if he starts or not. The other guys I'm pulling for, I'd like to see Moustakas get in there. I'd like to see Moustakas in the home run derby, too. Jason Vargas, I think, is going to start the All-Star game.
Yep.
I agree with Cody Tapp on that. I don't care if he gives up 5 or 6 runs in his next start, but he's shown no signs of that. And I think all those guys deserve to be there. And I heard you guys talking about Moustakas earlier and his home run surge and trying to get to the record. When I was watching his home run swing, his last couple of home runs, you know, people asked me, what's different about Moose? Has something changed? And he really has developed this kind of whip swing, which reminds me a little bit. It's not fair to compare the two, but it reminds me a lot of Gary Sheffield, because Gary Sheffield was one of the best hitters I've ever seen, and it was just a whip. His bat was so quick, and when Moose is hitting these home runs, especially on the ones he pulls, it's a whip. I mean, it's through the zone and gone.
Well, it's quick hands. Gary Sheffield had some of the quickest hands ever in baseball, right? And that inside pitch, you could not get by him, and that's what we're seeing with Moose, and he's doing what you're supposed to do. That pitch over the middle, take it back up the box. That pitch on the outside corner, take it to left field. They try to beat you inside, hit it over the wall. That's his approach, and it's working. We talked about his numbers earlier. 271 with 21 home runs. Yes, that's what you want if you're Moose. You know, that's what you want out of your third baseman. They don't have to hit 300 as long as they're flirting with 40 home runs every year.
Yeah, and I think it started probably 2 years ago. I was trying to remember. There was a day in spring training when I was there, and he was doing extra bunting practice off on the side. And I asked him and the hitting coach afterwards, I'm like, why is Mike Moustakas working on bunting so much? Because he doesn't bunt very much. And he said, well, he's tired of the shifting defenses. He's finally figured out that he can't pull it all the time because he's just going to wear himself out. We're going to work on bunting down the third base line when everybody's backed up and played on the other side of the field, and we're going to steal some extra hits.
Yeah.
And I think that's influenced his entire game and the entire way he approaches hitting. And I think it all goes back to that, when he realized, I can beat this shift by just bunting a little bit. And then work on spraying it around the field and pulling those inside pitches and hitting them out of the park.
The best way to beat the shift is to eliminate it. And that's what happens when you go the other way, when you lay down bunts and all of a sudden people are like, okay, he's not just going to settle for trying to beat the shift and pull the ball every time. No, he's a guy that'll hit to all fields. And really, listen, Smoke's had a better year than Hosmer right now at first base. He's got 22 home runs to Hosmer's 10. He's got 52 RBIs to Hosmer's 35. Hosmer's slug, 470 OPS, 832 for Smoke. It's slugging 589 OPS of 955. And Smoke's still hitting 297, right? Hosmer's a skosh above that at 304. So, really, Smoke's had a better year. But, hey, all-star, hey, you put it in the fans' hands. You don't always pick the best player to start the game. So hopefully the Royals fans got out there on Thursday night is when the voting ended and made that final push to keep Hosmer in the lead.
If you broke it down by demographics and age, I believe Hosmer is going to take the women's vote by about 100%.
Sure, yes.
And you know what? Guys like him too. So
there you go. Absolutely. And Women love him. Guys want to be him. That sort of thing. But how cool, how weird is it that, like, you now have a couple Royals who are, like, so well-known. They're the all-stars that kind of are by default going to be in there. They're going to get votes no matter what kind of season they're having. Granted, Salvi and Hosmer are having, you know, all-star quality years so far. But it's cool that they're kind of like the they're kind of the guys that that by default are part of the all-star vote every year.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, when we were kids, it was always, well, you know, George is going to be there.
Yeah.
Frank's probably going to be there. Willie's going to be there. And we'll get a couple other guys. And it's kind of funny this year, talking about the voting, my kids said, so we're only going to have two starters? When only a few years ago it was, you know, your one guy was Jeff Suppan. And I love Jeff, but You had a default all-star as opposed to a bona fide all-star, and this team still has bona fide all-stars.
Brad, what's your favorite firework?
Oh,
again,
boy.
I don't give you any of these beforehand.
Yeah, I haven't shot fireworks in several years. Usually, go to a show or go to a ball game and do it that way, but. Boy, when I was a kid, I'd have to go bottle rockets. They were, and there used to be one called Flashing Thunder, which was, it was illegal.
Sure.
Kind of like a Roman candle. It had like 8 shots in it, and it was the loudest thing you'd ever heard in your entire life. But always default to the bottle rocket. You're not supposed to fire them off anymore because they'll set somebody's roof on fire. But
whatever.
You know, we used to have bottle rocket fights, which was dumb and ignorant when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do that anymore unless you're, you know, John Pierre Paul or something like that. But, yeah, usually just taking a nice show. Have a nice little Saturday. Go to Home Depot, maybe look at some flooring and that kind of stuff, and go watch some fireworks. I don't know if I'll have enough time though.
Yeah, no, I like the Roman candles. I've drawn a blank. Bottle Rocket. Or sorry, I like the Bottle Rockets. I'm a big Roman Candles fan.
There you go.
We had those fights as well. So
well,
looking
I'm sure,
forward to.
Now that you're back into network news after 20 years of doing cable, you're probably seeing all those fireworks safety stories that come up and get recycled every year. And
absolutely.
I heard one on the radio the other day that one of the most dangerous fireworks for kids is the sparkler.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they burn it like 150 degrees. Kids don't just hold on to them. They'll touch it and burn their fingers and then everybody's crying and it's a trip to the hospital. So you got to be careful with those sparklers.
Sparklers are the second worst firework out there, okay? Because, I mean, when you weigh the amount of danger that's involved with what it does, what does it do? You can, like, maybe spell a couple letters of your name for, like, a split second, then it's gone. That's it. I mean, you put up with the danger of the M80 because they're awesome, right? But if you get the lame sparkler within, like, an inch of your arm, you're in the emergency room. Those are so hot. So, yeah, I'm with you. Second worst, and, of course, snakes are the worst. We might
snakes
get into that later, Josh.
I'm sure the toxic fumes that come out of one of those snakes that we all inhaled for 15 years, I'm sure it took a year off our lives.
Maybe.
10% of our lung capacity, but those are toxic.
If you like your kids' hands to get as filthy as possible for no reason, get lots of snakes.
Yeah.
And if they work.
Yeah. And those stupid turtles, you light them on fire and they like start crawling along the ground.
Don't get me started.
Fire things out of their butts.
Yeah, don't get me started on those.
You're going to hate my favorite firework, Mick. Whenever we do that, you're going to hate it.
Probably
so. You know.
All right, Brad, thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Happy Canada Day. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day to you.
Yeah, happy Drew Holiday.
That's right. Brad Porter on Sports Saturday. We continue after this.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Talking about great Canadian exports. Didn't even mention Drake.
This is Drake.
Oh, yeah.
From Canada.
Don't act like you don't know.
Can we get some Bieber maybe for the last segment?
I was thinking about cooking a little bit of that up.
So I have a feeling that I took a segment away from you, maybe rating fireworks, but I don't give a damn.
I'm not going to rate fireworks.
You're going to talk about substance?
I'm doing 3 hours of border war talk for sure.
Might as well. Go out, no prep time whatsoever. Welcome back. Final half hour of Sports Saturday. Today's flown by thanks to you, the callers. Calling in. Giving us your thoughts on the border war. Give us your thoughts on fireworks if you want. 913-3810-810. I'm a huge fireworks guy. So, a little backstory. My dad used to be in charge of firing off the town fireworks in Caldwell, Kansas. Shout out to Sumner County. Okay. So every 4th of July, they had, first of all, this big, you know, party in the park, right? You had ice cream. You had like a 2-on-2 basketball tournament. Everybody's there in town. By everybody, it was almost everybody. You know, like 1,000 people there. And so then they would have like a rodeo or a demolition derby. Whatever. They're both at the same place. Well, in the middle of the rodeo or demolition derby, they would stop, and we'd have the town fireworks. Now, mind you, all the fireworks now, you're on a computer, right? And they're automated, and they can go off, you know, however you want. Back then, every year, we had to manually light these gigantic fireworks. So my dad was in charge. Like, the Chamber of Commerce maybe gave him, like, I don't know, $1,000 to go and get fireworks. But then he would always spend probably about $1,000 of his own money to get more. And so for Caldwell back then in the 80s and 90s, pretty cool, right? But I look back on it now, how like, random and long it was and how many like big breaks there were between all these fireworks going on. And then B, how dangerous it was because you had probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 of us out there. And my dad had like 4 or 5 mortars, these big old posts. You know, we went out to some farmer's field out just outside of town. You bury them kind of in the ground a little bit, and you take these huge big, you know, firework balls with the big fuses, and you drop it in there. And then we had these broomsticks, and we'd attach these, we'd light these flares, and we'd tape it to the broomstick, and we'd go, and you'd light this long fuse, which would go off like that. So you're holding the broomstick out, you get it lit, and then you make a beeline back for the fire truck there, because the volunteer firemen were out there to make sure the Schaefers didn't set the whole town on fire. And you just run back, because the thing would shoot out, and about, I don't know, two or three every year would go off inside the tube, which means you got that big explosion all over you. And it's scary at first, but then you just start laughing, right? It's so much fun. And so we had six or eight of us that would just, you know, in no random order, we had the box there, just grab them and just go light them. Never mind that the tubes, after several had gone off, were so hot. So a lot of times you drop it in there and the thing would just explode like that. So dangerous. It's amazing that none of us lost our lives or limbs or became JPP or whatever. But that was one of my my favorite memories from back in the day. I loved the fireworks. Again, compared to now, it was not a great display. But hey, Caldwell liked it, and it was fun doing it. I think they still do it the same way. Actually, I think it's more automated now. One of the guys that used to help out my dad does it for a living. But it's funny because we're in fields too, right? So you light it, and you're trying to run through these muddy clods, right? And all these fields that by, oh gosh, the 4th of July had probably just been cut wheat. I don't think we found a wheat field because that would have gotten on fire. You know, the chaff would have gotten on fire pretty easily. So whatever, it's a field that's been worked over, but you can't run, and so you're taking your life into your own hands just about every time, but it's a good time. So I love fireworks. I kind of go all out, not like my dad, but, you know, a few hundred bucks, several hundred bucks each year for the kids. So I take fireworks very seriously, and as we've established, I hate snakes. You should hate snakes. Everybody should hate snakes. Sparklers are almost just as bad because they do nothing and they're so dangerous. They're the hottest thing out there. I think it's a rite of passage. Every year, one of my kids gets burned by a sparkler. So why then, Josh, did you say I was going to hate your favorite firework?
Because I have two like distinct childhood firework memories. One of them is just putting firecrackers underneath like a can. Sure. And you light the firecracker, the can shoots up in the air. It's a great time. But I was thinking about what my favorite firework is, and it's barely even actually a firework. You know those little, like, parachute soldier things, little, like,
yes,
paratrooper guys?
Yes. You like those?
Those were the bomb. Because we'd launch them up, and they go flying. You got to spot it, like you're looking for
fly
ball.
Yeah.
You got to go catch it.
Sure.
You got to catch it.
And it's going to go on your neighbor's roof half the time and down to their gutter.
But you're going to have like 10 of them because you're prepared.
Sure.
And all the kids in the family have to eventually, you know, get one. Otherwise, little Johnny's going to throw a big hissy event. We can't have that. But you shoot that up. You track it down. Grab it on its descent. Burns your hand a little bit because it's still, you know, it's just launched out by gunpowder. Then you have a little souvenir of your success. If it's the actual soldier one. The ones with like the little like paper weight thing.
Sure.
Those are much weaker.
You want the soldier. You want
you gotta have the little army man. No, the ones that are just the little paper ones are super disappointing. Still fun though.
What I don't like about those is you have to shoot them off in the daytime, right? There's no shooting those off at night.
No, but here's the thing though, is it's a little appetizer. It's like, oh, what a man! It's 2:30 on the 4th
sure,
of July. What
sure.
do we want to do here?
I'm down with that.
I'm 4. I can't drink any more than I already have. What do we do? Oh, we're gonna go do some parachute things, and we're gonna do some smoke bombs.
Parachute and smoke bombs.
That's gonna hold you over until that nice like that dusk time when you start doing some more, you know, mid range stuff. And
smoke bombs are so underrated. I bet I buy a couple hundred every year. The kids love it.
I'm sorry, a couple hundred?
Couple hundred smoke bombs. They come in, you get a pack of like 48, you know, and I'll get like, I'll get 4 or 5 packs of those, you bet.
Wow. Yeah. That feels like just a lot of work.
What, buying or just doing
them? Doing all of those.
Well, but here's the deal. Not dangerous whatsoever, and they're kind of cool, right? They catch on fire and they blow different color smoke. You can hold them in your hand. And then, like, that's the whole deal. You wait, and then throw it up in the air, and that's the challenge. Can you get it to where the smoke goes out before it lands on the ground?
And if you don't get it right the first time, don't worry. Your mix has you got 500 more chances to
absolutely
get it right.
Absolutely. We'll
your kid's going to need Tommy John by the end of the 4th
maybe
of July.
Maybe so.
That's ridiculous.
So they're out there. We buy out firework stands on smoke bombs. Kids go through them. See, I love black cats, and not like light off 1,000 at a time, because that's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it is.
You don't want to disrupt the neighborhood.
And
right?
Also,
Put them in a pan or whatever.
That payoff is not great.
No, it's just like after a while, it's like 10 seconds of, okay, this is really loud, and it's going to continue to be loud for the next 45 seconds, okay? And then you never know if they're all done, and you walk up, and bam, bam, a couple more go off, whatever. But I will do individual black cats.
Yeah, I think we might be finding some shared space
nonstop, like all day. Playing catch, shooting free throws, doing black cats. I could do all day long.
Yeah.
It's like mindless, just nonstop. Pick one, light it, throw. Pick one, light it, throw. All day long with the black cats. I will ignore my family. And look, you'll get the short fuses sometimes in the black cats. Way, way short. You got to watch out. They'll go off in your hand. The aloe vera in the Schaefer house is always out, the aloe vera plant, because one's going to go off in your hand. So I love the black cats. I love the phone call that we just got about Talk Sports, I'm sure.
Nailed it. Although it's never anymore, I've noticed
it's
a pattern.
3 hours on a Saturday. We have to have.
Man,
we have to break.
With 2 hours and 30 minutes of sports talk in
sure,
the review.
Yeah.
The call that it ends up always being now that I've realized there's a pattern of several people, not just like that guy, but like everyone. It's not even like no one just calls in and yells Talk Sports anymore.
Sure.
It's people calling in and go, hey, do you ever talk sports? Is this show ever about sports? Because I haven't heard it. I go, well, we're doing a fireworks segment here, I think. Like, not really on purpose, but we're just doing that
no,
now.
Yeah. We did hardcore MLS talk last segment, okay?
That is true.
We got to swing it back in the other direction.
We went, like, an hour of Royals, and an hour of Border War, and then a good 30 minutes of MLS.
Sure, yeah.
We're going to talk about firecrackers.
Absolutely,
for 10 minutes.
Absolutely. So black cats are up there. So you'll do them as well.
Yeah, this is something that I did. I didn't start lighting them in my hand and throwing them until a little bit later in my adolescence because that was a big no-no.
Sure,
you don't want to JPP yourself as you mentioned earlier.
Well, those aren't gonna do it.
I got a little more confident though. Eventually, I think the thing that made me most confident was eventually having one explode like on my leg somehow.
Sure.
I don't remember how that happened. Even
yeah,
I mean, you never remember how. You just remember the pain and not the circumstances.
Sure, sure.
So, we could definitely have, like, a nice, like, firecracker fight, maybe. You want to invite me over? I'll come hang out.
Absolutely.
We'll throw firecrackers at each other from 10 feet away.
I'd love it.
Perfect.
I'd love it. Here's the deal, though, with black cats. If you're right-handed, don't light them and then kind of throw them. You want to turn and have your right hand be your outside hand, and it's more of a push.
Yeah, it's a little
you
flick
get out.
Out
quicker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a dart throw. Bam,
don't, you
bam,
know, don't,
bam.
Don't
you're
go
not,
through, like, an El Duque wind-up.
Exactly.
No.
It's not doing long toss. Because that puppy's going to go off in your hand. Light it, boom. Light it, throw. Yeah. It's like a option pitch.
Right, that's
football.
Good.
That's
a little
what you
pitch.
Want it to be.
Yeah, it's a pitch, not a Clayton Kershaw wind-up.
Sure,
or it's going to blow up in your ear.
I will also buy out the fireworks stand out of Roman candles. I will shoot those all day. They're great.
A little anticlimactic, to be honest.
Well,
they shoot up in the air and then nothing happens.
Well, you're holding them in your hand, though. That's the cool part. When you get to hold the firework in your hand as it's shooting off, that's cool. And I had a bad experience, so I hold it out. One time, they'll back up sometimes and go right into your crotch, so you got to watch out. True story there.
I thought you were going to explain the story of how you
won. Bad summer at the lake.
No one snorted a Roman candle ball. But
no.
Okay,
no. So those are cool. You can do those in the daytime and nighttime. And you know what? I think Saturn missiles, good bang for your buck. You know,
which one are those?
Those are like they're like, you know, 50 at a time or whatever, 12, they could be 24, it could be 100. Pew, 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 pew.
The no. Little, like the metal circles?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about those.
Yeah.
Those are also up there because the sound is fun.
Sure.
They kind of make a cool little.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm trying to think of anything else that I haven't. haven't given their appropriate due. The little fountains are always nice little display. They're not
sure,
crazy.
The kids like
display.
It. They can like that. You don't worry about the kids running out and getting in trouble lighting that.
The little blossoms are always fun. Yeah. I have a place in my heart for them because also they're making a noise just like dancing around on the cement. It's like how do physics even work here?
Sure. Sure. No, and look, I live for the moment every year that the firework always finds the one mom or dad, but usually mom, who hates fireworks, but is just out there for the party. You know, like when you have a bad defensive player in baseball, the ball always finds him, right? We're going to hide him in right field. Nope. Nope. There's three balls there in the first two innings going to right field. Same with fireworks and the woman who hates them. She's like three rows back, got her ears covered, and one will always tip over, right? The little rocket or whatever that tips over, and it shoots, bam, right under her lawn chair, and she just goes nuts, and everybody laughs. I live for that moment every year.
I feel like it's not as accidental whenever you're at the party.
No.
We're getting Melissa today.
You're not going to get in too much trouble with the fireworks stand. Hardcore sports talk here, Danny. What do you have?
You want two Royals fireworks stories?
Sure.
First of all, one time during one of the seasons when they were really bad, somebody on the Royals hit a fly ball to deep left field, and it was caught at the wall, but the fireworks
went
man
off.
Thought it was going out and set the fireworks off, so that was good. But the other one was just, person had a good sense of humor. Mark Quinn drew his first walk of the year after
right,
like 150 at-bats or something, and they set the fireworks off. Of course, they could do that with about every Royal now.
Where was it recently where the fireworks guy got mixed up? It was the visiting team that hit a homer, and they sent him off.
I don't know.
I want to say it was Cleveland or something like that. And they're like, oh, wait, it's the gray uniform hit the home run. You want to come in for the last segment at all? You got work to do, Danny?
I can come in.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will preview the preview show. Talk some Royals baseball with Danny Klingskill.
Talk some sports.
Back to sports after this. This is Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And about to give way to Danny Klingskill here in baseball tonight at noon. You hearing me? We already switched seats here.
Yeah, this you're okay. Good. This good. Is just there's a mutiny now. Like I am disheveled.
I don't even know if you're using that word properly.
Yeah, this is the guy that'll tell you.
Feel like I got disheveled.
Sure.
All right.
Well, that's par for the course here on a Saturday.
Whatever.
Whatever is right. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, Danny.
Yes, he's still getting paid. Is that why you're
till
saying
2035?
This?
Yeah, 1.19 million. Is that the greatest agent that's ever lived that negotiated that deal, and maybe the worst baseball team that ever lived?
I think it's great for him.
Yeah,
I mean he wasn't very good for very long after he signed that contract either.
He was not.
He was a good player to earn the contract, but injury problems, weight,
sure,
lack of dedication,
sure,
seems to be a theme we're talking about on and off the air.
Yeah. But, exactly.
Anyway, so, you know what I always find interesting? I was trying to think of it today. I actually was chatting with one of our guests for baseball tonight. It's really interesting to me that somehow both the Canadian and United States Independence Day is like two days apart.
Yes.
I mean, is it July the time for revolution?
It was. It's in the summer, you know.
Hey, have a few cold ones, revolt.
Football season's over, nothing else to do.
Exactly. And there's some... there's some British holiday that's really close to American holiday too, I think. And I'm just trying to think if they have some holiday in July or something like that, or maybe it's another.
Maybe they just celebrate July 4th. Hey, we finally got rid of those guys.
Another holiday that is somewhat concurrent, and I can't think of what it is. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, as my dad likes to say.
So what's your best nugget from the game notes, maybe from last night or from today?
I think the neatest story for today is probably that John Farrell is
going
to come and see his son's debut. Brian McCray will be on Baseball Tonight coming up. I'm going to ask him if his dad, who was an active coach at the time, and if he was an active manager, would come and see his debut, and I think I really know the answer, and I'm about 98% sure the answer is no.
No.
But we'll find that
so
out.
So where was Hal whenever Brian made his debut?
He was coach in Montreal.
In Montreal, okay.
But he also, well, I'm not giving it away.
Okay, don't give it away.
No spoiler alert coming up.
That's
spoiler alert is not easy to say. But
No, it's not. I love John Farrell. He's an Oklahoma State Cowboy. Mm-hmm. Played there, was outstanding pitcher there, obviously, was the coach there for a while.
I think he's a
too.
Perfect manager for the Red Sox, and he handles the media well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he handles media members well, too.
<Didn't he? laughs> I don't know. Where's that? What's that mean?
He dated
oh, did he?
Some Nessun girl got
oh,
in trouble
nice.
For dating him, I believe.
Nice.
I think that's correct. I don't know if they got married or not. I'll have to do some more research on
Casey
that.
Casey McDonald, was it? Because she's there now.
It would follow. It would fit the pattern. She's a serial offender in that regard. The less I keep opening my mouth on that topic,
yeah.
The better for me.
Yeah, me
but,
too,
but
since I work
big,
at an old station now.
He's a big, strapping Western hero type of guy.
And he is.
And he's, you know, you got to be a certain type of personality to manage in places like Boston and New York and
yep.
Philadelphia. And, you know, I think the Yankees have done a good job of finding the right guys for those markets, too.
Yeah.
And guys who, you know, played big market baseball and... Joe Girardi, I think, is perfect for
yep.
New York. He just
no,
seems
right.
to let things rub, you know, roll off his back. I think, like, Ned, you would have got eaten alive, I think, in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
He would have snapped so many times. And, you
know, oh, yeah. And, they, and they're
on
not,
the back
yeah,
of paper,
they're, oh, page six, right? Yost would be all over the place.
Well, they, you know, for people who don't know, and I'm sure just about every sports fan does, the back page of the tabloids is sports every
yeah.
day. And there's some... often very clever headline, but usually they're negative. I mean,
oh, yeah.
they're not often positive, and they're often funny, but that would have been, especially if the Yankees were, you know, he just wouldn't have lasted.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Because they wouldn't have been the patience, and thankfully in Kansas City there was the patience. So.
Lastly here, we got about a minute. How big a day is this for Kansas City? This could be a big day, a doubleheader.
Absolutely.
Cleveland's playing a doubleheader. It could go... both directions, it could stay the same. There's lots of ways it could go.
Yeah, it's absolutely a big day. And I think that the Royals, I'm a little surprised they're going with Farrell in the first game because they could have gone rookie on rookie
sure.
tonight. And Berrios has really been cruising.
Been
it's almost like
yeah.
if they steal that this first game, then
yep.
look out.
It would be a steal, yeah.
Because I think it would be stealing.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, it's the whole, you know, bring up the rookie that first start. They don't know him. Maybe the magic happens.
Hey, you score 10, you're going to win.
Go do that. Go do that. Keep it in the baseball. All right, this has been Sports Saturday. Baseball tonight with this guy right here, Danny Klingscale, is up next. For Josh, for Matt Galloway, for Brad Porter, and somebody, Cody Tapp. I'm Mick Schaefer. We'll see you next time right here on Sports Saturday.